We're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast with Ferris and Tim. Got a special guest today, heavyweight supplements business owner and friend of the show, Trevor Jones. Hi, thank you for coming on, man.
What's going on, Tim? What's going on, Ferris?
How you been, man?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
How's everything going with you?
Pretty good. I can't complain. You know, everything's been rocking and rolling. We took a little dip during COVID. I'm sure everybody did with the lockdown. But, I mean, ever since then, people have really responded. I can really tell that people are caring about their health more. So, I mean, business has been great. I can't complain.
How you been? How's Trevor Jones been?
Trevor's doing good. Trevor's doing really good. I recently bought my first home.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that. So that felt good. Like I said, the business is kicking ass. Everything's looking great. I'm probably at the lowest body fat percentage I've been at since high school. So I'm happy about that. No complaints. Tesla stock is giving me a heart attack every other day.
What's going on with Tesla stock?
They're all over the place. They're building up. They'll skyrocket 15% and then they'll drop 13%. They're kind of in a flux right now. I like a lot of the stuff that Elon's doing. I'm a big science guy. I just try to stay on the cusp of all that stuff. So I really have fun with paying attention to his stuff. I even bought the Adidas Lunar limited edition shoes after he did the SpaceX launch. So I'm a big Elon guy.
All right, what's the price at right now?
Let's check it.
Go ahead.
So
this took a drastic turn from where I thought it was going to start.
Yeah, talk about stocks.
We can talk whatever we want. That's what I told him. It's his podcast. We can talk about whatever we want.
So let's see.
You want to talk about the lizard people? We can talk about the lizard people. Whatever you want to get into. So I just
Tesla closed at 4:31. I got in at 160 per share.
Didn't it get up to 900 or something like that?
So that was before the split.
Okay, the stock split. That's right.
Yeah, they did a split. So if you had one share, they split you to 5.
I hate that. The stock market, I have a good bit in the stock market, and it's just, it irritates me sometimes. Like some of the rules, I'm like, where did these rules come from?
Yeah.
Like I had a lot in Weatherford, and I bought it when it was low, and I knew it was going to become high, and then it went into bankruptcy. And and then all the stock that I had went worthless. And all they gave me in thanks for buying was two stocks.
Oh,
it was over $10, something like that. And lost over, I don't even remember how much stock I had, but yeah, that's the stock market. It's a risk.
It's gambling. People think it's just you make money, and it's not.
No.
Because you're literally entrusting your money to CEOs to do with it what they may.
Yeah.
You just hope that they'll be ethical with it.
Well, this is not good advice, what I'm about to tell you. So I put about $300 in a stock that was around way less than a cent, way less. I won't say what it is just on here, just for, well, I guess I can. TPTW. I don't really even sure what the hell they did, to be honest with you.
Right.
And they went up from less than a penny, way less than a penny, to 50 cents. And I made a couple grand like that. But it's a penny stock. So you just it has no, I do not trust it whatsoever. But you can make money if you're weaselly enough to make the right moves at the right time.
Basically, you were trying to be the wolf of Wall Street and see just how it fell.
That's what I did. And when it's got to a certain point,
you got to get out.
I sold. I sold and made the money.
Yeah.
I keep looking at it and I keep thinking I'm going to go back. But no.
Yeah, they were penny stocks when they came, and thus they will return.
They're always penny stocks.
You have to sell out whenever they reach a certain number. I agree. You don't want to hold on for the long haul for some of those.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
And this is might take a little bit. So where did from the beginning, the idea of WeatherTech – I don't know WeatherTech. What the fuck am I talking about? Sorry, excuse me for my language. Not WeatherTech.
Heavyweights?
Heavyweights. I was combining Weatherford and – TPTW, which is tech, sorry. Where did heavyweights, where did the idea begin, and then how did you progress to where you are now?
Okay, so that's kind of an interesting story. I actually worked at Heavyweights all through college. When I was a freshman, I used to shop there, and it was owned by a guy named Matt Napier, who's a great guy. He's actually one of Louisiana's only drill sergeants now. And so he was a great guy to work for, but his time stayed so split.
Yeah,
and after a few years, the business kind of was starting to bleed money. The shelves were always dry, and it just wasn't producing like it used to. So my senior year of college, when it was kind of everybody else was, I'm going, you know, to this school, or I'm going to go get my master's, I'm going to go work there. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. So,
I'm going to chime in real quick. I'm 32 years old, had a degree for 7 years, and I still don't know what the hell I'm going
right,
to do.
Right. But so I was like, kind of, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I noticed that the business was slipping, and my dad was like, well, have you thought about asking Matt if he would sell to you? And I just kind of like, that was the best idea I'd heard since anything else. You know, I was about to apply for law school, because what else do you do with a history degree? So,
I know.
Yeah.
You got one.
Exactly. I mostly majored in fraternity. So I came up to Matt and I was like, hey man, like, I know the store's not doing well. You know, I'm like your only employee. I'm here 24/7. And I was just, I told him, I was like, you know, let me take over, you know, let me buy it from you and see if I can't turn it around. And eventually he did sell out. Cause I mean, he wasn't even into bodybuilding anymore, fitness. He's a unique guy because he's a drill sergeant, but he's also like an all holistic farmer and is a non-vaxxer, grows all his own meat, food. Like,
it's just not something you'd seem to go together.
A drill sergeant. And he's also like, try this holistic goat milk. Like, it's very interesting. So he decided to follow his passion with, you know, holistic farming and all that kind of stuff and military stuff. So he sold out to me, and I just kind of turned it around. I mean, the store's doing exceptionally good now. Gave it a whole new look, a whole new vibe. I mean, it's been a roller coaster. In 2016 or 2017, I invented the supplement vending machines, and they're essentially like the red box machines, but it pumps out like a whole 2-pound jug of protein. So you put them in the gyms. And it takes, you know, it's like a 24-hour store. And unfortunately, my manufacturer in California went out of business without telling me. So I had to give that venture up, and that was still under the heavyweights umbrella. And I can show y'all pictures of that. And then in 2018, I opened my own store, a second store in Alexandria, and I sold it to the manager down there, and that was our first franchise. He decided that it would be a great idea to develop a drug problem. So our first franchise went up and down real quick. But the store in Monroe is kicking ass. I mean, I love it every day. I still have fun with it. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, it's not for everybody, but if you get the opportunity to be your own boss, you know, test it out.
Yeah.
It's a lot more pressure. Everything's on your shoulder, but it just feels great when I walk into that place and when I walk out, and I love it. I don't know where else I'd be, and I'm pretty damn unhireable at this point.
So the
pressure, you know, have my own business. And the pressure is all on you, but the thing is, the pressure comes from you and comes out of you. It doesn't come from somebody else. And just me, I never wanted someone to be like, you do this, you do that, you do this. Not that I'm against that, but it's just like, it just wasn't for me. Like, working at a Fortune 500 company was just not in the cards for me. I just don't have the personality for it. Yes, there is more stress when it comes to a lot of things, but I can deal with that stress how I want to. I'm not on some timetable of somebody else. And that's one thing I found to be the most appealing, to have your own. But, you know, like I say, you know, for me with Rent House, it's like, it's not for everybody. You know, you get that phone call at 2:00 in the morning, my air conditioner's out. You know, not everyone can handle that. You know, and when I go out of the country, I got to worry about making sure someone's taking care of it. But I'd rather have that. It'd be under someone's thumb, you know.
Right, 100%. And like I was saying, or like you said, it's a pressure from within. And I do think it does take a certain personality type that can respond to that. Because I think a lot of people need structure from the outside to keep them up, you know. And then other people, you know, it's like an exoskeleton versus an endoskeleton. Some people have it on the inside and they don't need support from the outside, and then other people it just works better that they do have the support from the outside, which is why I also think that being a business owner is not for everyone. But yeah, I do think that if you have the opportunity, that you should definitely give it a try, or at least look into it, because I mean, it's just so fulfilling for me, at least. And yeah, and I like being my own boss. I've always had a leadership role in life, and I've never been the type. If anything, I've honestly probably been bad at being a follower. I've just never been the type that if I don't believe you have the best plan, it's hard for me to go blindly into it.
Right. So you buy it from Mr. Napier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And How long have you had the store?
Since March of 2015.
Okay. So how old were you when you...
I bought it when I was 24. Okay. I was in my second senior year of college.
Okay. Second senior year.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I did a victory lap.
I know that feeling, trust me.
I think I had the most out of all of this.
Yeah, to be honest, I would have got out in four, but they added a minor to my degree, so I had to get a minor. So it pushed me back one more year.
A little tangent off of college, but some of these schools are charging the same amount for online as if you were there in person.
Yeah, these schools. I mean, I don't think college is for everyone. I hate that it's been pushed down people's throat because I don't even utilize my degree. Now, granted, I had probably the most fun I've ever had in my life.
I mean, we can all
agree. Yeah, I lived college to the 10th degree. I loved college. I cannot stress that enough. But do you need it to succeed in life? Hell no.
No.
We've had that discussion plenty of times on this podcast, and you know, it's just when you're in high school, and I distinctly remember this, the teachers, and I know they have to, but it's like, if you don't go to college and get a degree, you're going to be a worthless bum. And it's like, you get older, you spent all these thousands of dollars to get this education, and then, you know, you can still be a bum after you spend all that money, you know.
Well, a lot of times they say education, but you come out of college, what did you really learn?
Yeah.
I haven't learned anything that's been overly utilized. I mean, I was a business major for 3 years. I nearly have a degree in business. I only lack about maybe like 9 classes, I think, and because I switched my junior year to history. And I mean, all the accounting classes I took, I haven't nothing. Like, you don't balance checkbooks anymore. Like, you use, you know, QuickBooks.
QuickBooks, yeah.
And you had to learn how to use QuickBooks, like. And in anything above that, you're using a CPA.
Right.
So in marketing management classes, that's all bullshit. I haven't utilized any of that. So that's the thing I hate. And I'm not saying right. that there's obviously plenty of stuff you learn in college, like how to, you know, do a chemical sequence. If you're going to be a chemist, you need to learn that stuff. But for jobs outside of just a science and math field, I mean, a lot of it's so abstract that you really learn in the field versus in a classroom. That's the thing I hate is, you know, what is an MBA versus a guy who's worked in a business 10 years?
Right. You know, I'll tell people all the time, the number one thing I got from college had nothing to do with the classes. It had to do with meeting people who did not think like me. I think that was the number one thing. It's like meeting, I've lived in Northeast Louisiana my life, and then I meet somebody who doesn't believe anything how I believe. Those things like that were the things like, oh, okay, now I have a different perspective. And I think that helps me in business because I can see the other guy's point of view a lot easier than if I had never gone. And I think a lot of people who went to college and maybe some people had time in the military, you know, where you're just away from your, you know, clique and your familiarity that you kind of learn some things.
Right. I think it's very important that we get out of echo chambers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Too often do people sit around where they hear the same thing and everyone just agrees. But college is a culmination of several minds.
Right.
And a lot of minds disagree. And now I will say this. I hate that college is getting to a place where if people don't agree, they dox each other or they yell over each other or they try to, you know, silence a speaker. I think that we need to really – I think that that's kind of getting away from the purism of college. College is somewhere where people should – debate and have different thought processes.
Exactly. And it kind of like turned the tables. It went to be like the colleges where all these ideas could manifest, and then outside of colleges where people try to stick to their, you know, guns, but just kind of switch to that where, you know, you're kind of indoctrinating people now as opposed to like opening their minds. And just because you don't have to accept an idea just to understand the idea, like, you know, you don't have to accept other people's point of views, but you can still respect that person.
Right. You know? Yeah. And I agree with what you said. Because at the end of the day, the way I see it is you are only a singular representation of your idea, and your opposition is only a singular representation of their idea.
Right.
So to act as if that they are a negative calls them to the universe just because they don't believe what you believe, I mean, essentially you're just equalizing each other out. So why everybody gets so uproared is beyond me.
Yeah.
That's what I've never understood. And I hate that because I think that if we were to listen more, that's when ideas can start to progress, change, and you may find a person with idea A and a person with idea B. They start discussing, and all of a sudden, idea A, B comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Which may be more beneficial than A or B.
You should run for politics in
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep an open mind. I personally believe that someone's always going to bring something different to the table.
Right.
You know, it's only people whose tables are overly full that they start pushing away new knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's never smart.
No.
So, I mean, going with that, you know, you're in an industry that is always got something new on the market. And, you know, the one thing I like when I go into your store is it seems like you don't push the, you know, you go into a sporting goods store, you know, that has a little bit of everything. They have the big, huge kind of, you know, the pre-workouts that everybody knows about. But when I go into your store, you know, I see stuff and I'm like, what is that? And then you and your staff have always been very knowledgeable at, like, okay, this is what makes this different than this. And little girl you got working now, whenever I was in there not long ago trying to buy some protein, you know, she recommended a...
Shout out to Angel.
Yep.
Executive assistant.
She recommended some type of protein I had never even seen or heard of. And I was like, okay, okay. And it don't taste bad. You know, mix as well, which I'm always a fan of. Because you get some that, you know, don't mix well. And you're
right.
Just better.
Right.
You better close your nose and just take it like a shot. But, you know, she's...
Yeah, I like to like us to like a supplement boutique. You know, that may sound kind of girly or lame, but like that's essentially what we are. We're going to bring brands that you're not going to find at GNC. You're not going to find them at Walmart, and there's a reason. Like I have a bar that I don't like to go below. I like to bring in only quality because heavyweights is Trevor, and Trevor is heavyweights in a sense. So if I start carrying crap or stuff, you know, then essentially – my reputation's on the line. And I'm a big believer that if you carry the right stuff and you do people right, they're going to be a customer forever versus if I just carry some bullshit that was cheap for me that I can sell expensive to you, you're going to come in one time, feel that you got hosed, and I'll never see you again.
That brings a question for me to ask you. It seems like the supplement industry has a you have one ruby surrounded by a whole bunch of just pebbles. Like
it's bullshit.
There's there's a lot of stuff that people just make that is bullshit, but there's stuff that's working. How do you navigate finding what works? Do you use yourself? Do you use, you know, the collective group of people and see what works and what doesn't work? What's the mindset there?
So I'll tell people, don't underestimate the amount of research that goes into a lot of this. I've done thousands of hours of research. I mean, that's no exaggeration. I'm talking 10 years of research because there's new compounds that come out all the time. There's new ingredients. There's new blends. The FDA banned something. You better believe the supplement industry is on a way trying to figure out how to make it one branch chain longer, and all of a sudden it's a new compound. And then the court system has to go through the whole rigmarole of trying to ban that new compound when it's only one hydrogen or nitrogen off of the old compound. So, I mean, it's an ever-evolving industry. There's a lot of diamonds in the rough, and there's a hell of a lot of rough. And that's what I tell a lot of people is, like, there are great brands, there's great compounds, there's stuff that does work, and then there's a lot of people that muddy up the waters because you'll have bullshit brands that underdose. They lie about what's in there altogether, or you'll just get people that hype up shit that doesn't work. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Right.
Is I cannot stand these pyramid schemes or any of these other industries or brands that are just putting bullshit on the table and using some celebrity or model who doesn't, or, you know, maybe have taken it once, and then they're saying, this is what I've done to lose all this weight, and it's, I mean, it's just bullshit.
I'm sure you've seen this movie, but Bigger, Stronger, Faster, the documentary?
Yes.
So, I mean, what, you know, when you see that, how do you, because, I mean, a lot of people who work out and buy supplements have probably seen that, so how do you combat, you know, because like you said, there are a lot of shit supplements, and I'm sure everybody in this room has bought a shit supplement mm-hmm. that you were just like, man, I just wasted $40. How do you, you know, we all got it. I think you even posted about it one time. You know, you have people who have, you know, you've got all this knowledge, and then you got people who come in who, you know, read one article and it's like, well, this is crap. Well, no, it's not. How do you fight that? How do you how do you fight the stigma of some of this? Because you've said it, there's more crap than there is diamonds.
Yeah. Well, first off, you always get more flies with sugar than vinegar. So I never try to fight. I never am going to tell you like, oh, this is what I do, bro. Like, I know more. No, I mean, if you think you know because you read an Amazon review or you Googled one time, like, by all means, you're the scientist. But I just try to educate people, and the big thing I try to do is not carry shit in my store. You know, I try to make sure everything that I have on the shelf I've handpicked, you know, for a reason.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I like, and I think is an advantage when you shop at my store or other locally owned stores. You know, we don't have corporate saying that we got a pallet deal on this pre-workout, so you have to sell this pre-workout. No, I literally will sample it myself, or I'll have Angel sample it, or trusted customers, and then we'll decide if it's worth bringing in or not. And that's kind of how I funnel through a lot of the bullshit. I mean, some of the reps will tell you, like, I'm pretty, like, this is my business. This is my livelihood. And I will tell companies, like, hey, your shit sucks. Or it's bullshit. Like, I'm sorry, I can't sell it. And I'll tell them straight up, or I'll send it back if it wasn't what I thought it was. I'll make sure that, you know, our people are not getting taken advantage of. Because if you're getting taken advantage of, that meant that Trevor got taken advantage of first. Yeah, because I'm never going to purposely sell any bullshit.
Let me ask you this. You said something about it earlier. What makes the government or whoever the powers that be ban something? What is the tip? Is it because it hurts somebody, or is it working too well, or what is it?
A lot of it, so if you watch Bigger, Faster, Stronger, you can literally draw it all the way back to, like, baseball, essentially. And when, like, you know, the Ken Griffey Jr. and all them were hitting all them home runs, and the steroids were going around like crazy, there was essentially either Congress or, I want to say it was Congress, because Joe Biden, I think, even weighed
Joe
in
Biden,
on it.
Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, they weighed in on it. It was either senators or Congress, but they voted to outlaw a bunch of stuff. And ever since then, it's just progressively gotten worse. And some of it is for public concern, and some of it is just because they work too well. And the thing that I hate, though, is some of these compounds that have been banned, I personally feel are safe, especially when comparison to, like, medication that's given out like candy. You know, now granted, that does come from a doctor, but some of these other compounds
He's just a suit and tie wearing drug dealer, don't lie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no doubt. But some of these compounds, they're going straight to the illegal or banned list when the side effects are minimal and only really shown when people abuse them. Right. I'm kind of libertarian in the sense that I'm a grown man that, like, you know, if I want to buy something that produces 0.5% more muscle mass than someone who's doing it all natural, I have the right to do that. You know, I think right. It's a little silly that I can't do something that may have beneficial effects, but I can go to any gas station and fill up a Coke bottle full of gasoline and drink it until I'm dead.
Like, right. I mean, or buy all the alcohol you could ever
right.
want.
Right. I mean, yeah, and there's literally no at all positive physiological effects for alcohol. Maybe the one little bit that one glass of wine can thin your blood enough that it helps your heart. But who drinks one glass of wine? Like, you know.
Well, hell, you can go and buy cigarettes that are just like,
there's no good that comes out of it.
It's like death. It's like one of the worst things. Like, you know, people talk about
addicting,
you know,
and lowers your lifespan.
Like COVID, like say COVID killed, let's say right now there's like 200,000 people. Cigarettes kill 500,000 people a year.
Oh,
every year. No one says anything. And it's subsidized by the government.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, Big Pharma, I think, has a lot to play with it. I think that a lot of companies kind of push and pay their way through. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is just government bullshit. I think, unfortunately, we have people who don't know what they're doing are the ones that are voting on everything.
Right.
Like, is there any senator or congressman that looks like he's been to a gym in the last 10 years? No. The average age is like 60-something for those people. Yet they're the ones who are like, this is unhealthy for you. And that's what I think is kind of ridiculous.
How much of that is like, okay, I won't say the names of the companies, but just say the big companies that do similar to what y'all do are lobbying the government to make sure that the small companies can't get certain things.
Oh, 100%. Like a lot of the times, some of these big companies will try to patent it, and if they can't, that's when they push for it to get banned. Some of these compounds were even patented drugs at one point that lost their patent, and now the free market can reproduce, and they just don't want the competition. Yeah. Think of it as, you know, you have Budweiser, which is like the big beer company. Then you have these small breweries that you could call like your recreational beer companies, or smaller, more for, you know, your IPA guys to have fun with and taste the different flavors. Well, if Busch started coming around and pushing, you know, Flying Tiger around, because they're taking, you know, people are going to that because there's been so many benefits from some of these outside supplements. Well, Busch isn't going to be happy about that, and they're going to try and shut down and corner in markets.
Right.
And a lot of people aren't really aware of that, and aren't really aware just how much Big Pharma pushes around a lot of other industries.
Yeah.
It bleeds into my industry all the time, and it's just gotten ridiculous. Now, granted, some of these compounds, there are some that are pretty unsafe, but I mean, a lot of these it's just kind of splitting hairs, and you get far more dangerous things at gas stations. I mean, they have fake drugs at the counter at gas stations that you can buy.
Well, you know, you're talking about like patents and stuff like that, and it's kind of going with the gas station thing. It used to be, like, if you weren't a 50-year-old man who had to go to a doctor to get ED treatment, you had to go to the gas station and hope that whatever they gave you didn't give you too much mercury that was going to kill you.
Right.
And you don't know if you were going to pass out from it. But now, like, since the patents for, like, say, Viagra and some of the other ones have gone, you have companies like Roman and some other ones that are getting into that market just because Big Pharma doesn't have control of it anymore. And I wonder if that's going to happen with other things besides ED treatments and stuff.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you see it bleed in all the time. Like, there's a lot of supplement companies that try to branch into pseudo, you know, therapeutic or pseudo health programs. Like, I know a lot of doctors are really pushing for nitrous oxide supplements before they get their patients on blood thinners or blood pressure medication, because nitrous oxide dilates your capillaries, which in turn opens up the blood vessels, you know, which allows blood to flow more smoothly, which lowers your blood pressure.
Right.
So, Big Pharma doesn't want you coming in getting a natural, like, citrulline malate or L-arginine that can do it holistically. They'd rather put you on a synthetic drug to do it. And I've been having a lot of people come in for those lately. And I wouldn't be surprised if Big Pharma makes some kind of push to try and stop that. Now, it may not be big enough, you know, that not enough doctors may not be pushing for the nitrous oxides. And if you're listening, you should. Much better over these synthetic blood thinners. I think it's much better to just open up your blood vessels versus fucking with the blood itself.
Tell you what, keep that thought. I'm gonna go get something and bring it to you and let you look at it.
Okay.
So, sorry, I don't know what happened right there. Another thing, you know, have you seen it was the other movie the guy made, Prescription Thugs?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, you need to check it out. It's free on YouTube right now. But it was 10 years after, you know, Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And, you know, the Congress had attacked steroids in the first movie.
Right.
And look, I'm not saying steroids are good. If you're a grown man, though, and you want to do steroids, fucking go for it. But
right.
In the next movie, a lot of the deaths that they attributed to steroids, next movie was called Prescription Thugs, that Big Pharma had basically caused a lot of. And you remember the guy, Taylor Hooten? He died. He was a high school baseball player. His dad was pushing for anti-steroid.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, the guy came.
He was on antidepressants when he died.
Yeah, he was on antidepressants. And in the next movie, and you really don't notice it unless you're like me and you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you watch both movies back to back. But basically in Prescription Thugs, you know, they have more information that says, you know, hey, these antidepressants, not good.
And right. Yeah. Well, one of the side effects is suicidal thoughts.
Yeah. And it's like, and I told Ferris the other day, I was like, man, I wonder, like, you know, because Taylor Hooten's dad was just blaming steroids left and right. And I was like, I wonder what his opinion is now that more information has come out. And it's like, your kid died because he was on antidepressants.
Right. Well, and don't get me wrong, steroids can play a lot of roles in people's thinking. Because essentially you're inducing more hormones. Hormones are essentially the chemical makeup of emotions. Too much testosterone, you tend to get more cocky, aggressive, more, and some would say like toxic masculinity. I don't really like those phrases.
Right.
But it, but I mean, so I, if I, now I'm no doctor, but, and I hate, and I don't speak on anyone's death. I wasn't there. I don't know the kid and I don't know his family, but I would say, you know, versus picking one, I would say that that's just a dangerous cocktail.
Yeah.
You're inducing steroids, which is an amplifier. It's going to make you a bigger, stronger version of whatever you are. A cocky guy is going to be super cocky on it. You know, a loving guy is going to be overly emotional. That's just kind of what it does. It makes you, it amplifies who you are. And then you combine that with something like antidepressants, which is trying to balance what you are, and you're already amplified. And I mean, I no wonder that kid, you know,
yeah.
he was having trouble thinking straightly and didn't, was confused and ultimately made a terrible decision. And I think I would just say that you need to watch out for anything that changes your mental state.
All right, so I bought this a year ago, so don't kill me for not going for heavyweights for it, okay? I got it off the internet, all right?
Okay.
I want you to tell me, just by looking at it, you don't have to say the name of it. Bullshit, did I get hosed? Let's see.
Okay, I'll give you an honest review. I look at people's stuff all the time. Okay, so this is just citrulline malate. I mean, this is just good for a pump. It's dosed at 3 grams a scoop.
Okay.
Or a half a teaspoon. So 3 gram scoop. Yeah, I would do 2 scoops. Naturally, you typically need 6 grams.
Okay.
But, I mean, if it's just pure citrulline malate, I think it's fine. I mean, I'm sure it works. Have you tried it?
I've tried it, but I think I need to be more consistent with it to get the full effects. Would that be fair to say?
Well, all this is essentially going to do is going to give you more of a pump. You're not going to get any energy. You're not going to get anything besides a blood flow pump.
Right.
So citrulline malate is actually a better form of L-arginine. L-arginine gets eaten up in the gut.
Yes.
Because it is synthesized by the enzymes. So it doesn't typically make it to the blood, but citrulline malate gets bypassed by the enzymes in your gut and makes it directly to the bloodstream. So it has a better absorption value. So I think it was a good buy if you're looking between that and L-arginine.
Well, see, that's what I was doing at first. I bought L-arginine, and then I saw someone on YouTube that was talking about that specifically, and that's what he said. Basically, what he said is just exactly what you said. It's like it goes to the stomach, and you don't get the full effect, and whereas that will get it.
Yeah.
So you said for this one it needs to be
I would do 2 scoops.
And that's how
Or it said a half teaspoon. It was weird how it didn't just say 1 scoop.
I'm not sure there's a scoop in it or not. So it says 3 grams. I guess you need to take 6 grams with that?
Yeah, I would do 6 grams.
6 grams, okay.
So what would you recommend? Because, I mean, you get done with your workout, and I want to say it's like within 30 minutes is your maximum time to get
anabolic protein absorption and all that, your window, anabolic window.
Yeah, so what would you, you know, you see BCAAs, amino acid, branched, which I guess are BCAAs, excuse me, you know, post-workout proteins. What would you recommend is the best, like, okay, maximize your, I'm not trying to be funny, but maximize your gains, if you will, you know, whatever you're into. What is the best way to do it?
I'm a big fan of protein. A whey isolate, I think, is much better than any kind of concentrate. Calcium concentrate, whey concentrate have lower bioavailability, means how well your body can absorb it. Whey isolate has a much higher bioavailability. I would come check out Isoflex, only found at Heavyweight Supplements. And
I think that's what I bought, too.
Yeah, that is by far, in my opinion, the best brand. But that's going to have your best absorption. So protein is made up of BCAAs. So if you don't want the caloric value, you don't want the calories, then you can just get BCAAs by themselves, which is already, think of that as like a broken down version of protein already. Just doesn't have the calories because it goes straight to absorption. They're not combined with anything. So I think either one of those is fine, but I think most people are protein deficient, and they don't realize it. Yes.
What's a sign of protein deficiency, if there is any?
Just lack of muscle. If you see the average American diet, you're going to see a lot of carbohydrates and starches. That's why you get 10 chicken nuggets and like 150 fries.
Right.
The ratio is just way off. So I think most people, like, you're – most people eat enough that they can survive. You know, you're not falling over from protein deficiency death or something. But to actually build muscle, yeah, most people just don't realize they're not taking enough. So I think that protein is highly important. You know, I try to get 200 grams a day. I know that somebody on the Facebook asked us how many grams per body pound.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and get into the questions, because I want to make sure that everyone – there's only about 7 or 8 people to ask, so I want to make sure that we get those questions asked. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
All right, so I guess –
go ahead. I got them written down.
All right, so Joseph Hickson asked, I have read several articles varying the amount of protein required for athletic muscle gain. How many grams per pound do you recommend?
So, through my research, I've read plenty of articles, too. I've read 0.5 all the way to 2 grams. Now, a lot of what these articles don't talk about is it all depends your protein source. So, if I'm doing a crude protein source that has low availability, I'm going to have to take in more because I'm shitting out a lot of that protein.
Right.
And people don't realize not all proteins are made the same. That's why some are expensive and some are cheap. So, my rule of thumb is I try to get around 200 grams a day.
Okay.
So I think if you're a normal guy that works
a little bit closer.
If you're a normal guy that works out and you know, goes to the gym fairly regularly, I think that 200 grams is just is a good sweet spot.
Okay.
I don't think that unless you're like Phil Heath and you're just killing it out there, you probably don't need too much more than that, and that's probably more than what you're taking already.
Right.
So I think that's fair. And, you know, same with carbohydrates. I don't ever really try to go over 200 grams of carbohydrates either. I don't, unless you're running marathons and just needing to burn a shitload of energy, you just don't need 500 grams of carbs, you know. And people will be surprised how quick that they get there. Because if you look, I mean, you're eating rice with your meals. You're eating mashed potatoes. You're eating fried potatoes. I mean, there's just always some kind of carbohydrate typically with your meal. And a lot of vegetables have carbs, too, and a lot of people aren't aware of that. So for your three main macros, I typically do 200 grams of protein, about 200 grams of carbs, and fats, you know, like about 100. You know, I don't study my fats near as much. Obviously, it's one of your three major macros. But in America, your diet's going to be really centered around carbs and protein.
Okay. All right, so we'll go to Mr.
Make sure you ask the Hank question, by the way. This has to be done first.
Okay. How much cardio is too much cardio, and can too much cardio negatively affect my gains during a bulk? And that's from Mr. Ben Birch.
Yes. So if you do too much cardio, well, that's kind of a tricky question, because it all is going to depend on your physiological body. So, like, someone who's very lean, if they go out and they're running 10 miles a day, you're not going to bulk, because
right.
You're just burning too many calories. You probably already have a higher metabolism than, you know, the plus-size guy to the left. It's just, it takes, it's everyone's going to be different, but you just, if you're constantly running, you're constantly burning, then you're not building.
Right.
There's a reason that marathon runners look one way and bodybuilders look the other. And Arnold, you know, and bigger and Pumping Iron, when they asked him about cardio, he asked if riding bikes with your friends on the beach counted as cardio. You know, he never really did cardio. I do cardio, but I walk, I was doing it every day, but I've been so busy lately. I walk about 4.5 miles on the levee.
Okay.
And that's my cardio. I may hit a jog every now and then, but I walk, you know, lift every day that I can, and just eat, you know, best I can. And that's what's kept me, you know, at the 9 to 11% body fat. I don't think cardio is necessarily a must to lose weight. I think it's good for your heart. I think it's good for overall functionality of your body and to keep the ligaments from getting too stiff. But do I have to do cardio? No, I don't necessarily believe you have to go crazy on the cardio. But if you're trying to bulk, I do think it could be a little counterintuitive. What I would recommend, if somebody wants to do some cardio, either walk uphill or put the, not escalator, but treadmill. Put the treadmill at its highest incline and just walk for 30 minutes. Just walk uphill, do the Stairmaster, do something like that versus just going on a long grinding jog or run.
Right.
I think that HIIT training, like doing some sprints, Stairmaster, I think is phenomenal because you'll build your legs and glutes up at the same time. I think that kind of cardio is just much more conducive. Now, if you're planning to go on like a 12-mile hike, yeah, you need to be doing cardio for that.
Right.
But if you want to be as big and as strong as possible, just hit the Stairmaster.
Okay.
One of the boxing coaches that I used to have and now teaches at Ferris School, I think, or he did, used to say, you know, jogging long distance, that's cool if you're a long-distance runner. But we're in a boxing match. You got to do some sprints. You know, 10 seconds just fooling out is a lot better for us than doing a long distance run. And I mean, it's true, you know, because my cardio gave out plenty of times.
All right. So, yeah, move on from that one. So, Mr. Michael Hildebrand, hey, Mike, help me out with my knee, by the way, when I heard it. Recommended caffeine dose for weightlifting and running?
I would say between 200 milligrams and 400 milligrams. That's typically your sweet spot. Pre-workouts are going to run anywhere from 200 milligrams to 400. To give you an example or give you kind of a point of reference, a Bang, a Rain, both of those are 300 milligrams. So I think anywhere between there. If you're getting to 500, I mean, that's a half a gram. That's a lot of caffeine. Like, I wouldn't do that.
It causes heart problems. As a person who used to drink like 3 full-blown rock stars a day,
I could not believe how many rock. I can't believe how many people like drink the amount of energy drinks.
Oh yeah, we sell them all day long.
I was a little bit of a fiend for a minute, and yeah.
So how many you recommend again?
I would say between 200 milligrams and 400 milligrams, I think, is safe.
So kind of a sidebar here, which is probably what, you know, most people want to know when it comes to that. What would you recommend as a pre-workout? And, you know, does it change upon your goals? Does it, you know, tolerance is obviously a big one, but.
Yeah, so I think that it definitely changes on your goals. I think that not all pre-workouts are made the same. So if you're looking to do more weight loss, you may not necessarily want a whole lot of pump factor like the citrulline malate or agmatine sulfate because you may be doing more cardio. So you may want something that's higher caffeine, has, you know, black pepper extract, anything to huperzine, stuff to make you sweat and to get the blood flowing versus something that's going to give you a pump because, you know, if you're running too much and your legs get all pumped up, well, it's kind of hard to run. So, but, you know, in the adverse, somebody who's looking to, if I'm going to go in there and I want to bench press 300 for the first time, well, I'm going to want a hard-hitting pre like the Rage AF or the Real Pre or the Rowdy, something like that that's overly stimulating, that's going to give me more of a kick than I ever would have naturally. So right. I think supplements are just like anything, any industry. It's all about what you're trying to do. There's no single, you know, paintbrush that's covering it all. That's why, you know, I try to carry several different ones. Like, we have the Alani Nu for females that want something way less stimulating but still want to feel it.
Right. All right. So, now we have one from Mr. Dylan Fraley. All right. Former podcast guest, by the way. Well, actually, we had a few on here. He asked, how do you figure out which protein is best to buy? There are 500 brands and 200 types, so I always have a hard time figuring out which one will digest best and be optimal for my goals. Also, shout out for his pancakes.
Yeah, I love Dylan. I call him a marathon man. That dude seems like he just doesn't stop. He
doesn't get tired.
He's a super athlete.
Try rolling jiu-jitsu with him.
Yeah, I don't want to try rolling jiu-jitsu with him. I tell people all the time I'm too pretty to be fighting. But
I didn't have to worry about that problem.
So when it comes to protein, I tell people all the time, turn it around. Look at the serving size. Like the Isoflex, I have it pretty much memorized. That's a 30-gram scoop. The whole serving is 30 grams. 27 grams is protein. That means only 3 grams is non-protein. Now, if you go to Walmart and you turn it around, you may see a protein that advertises 24 grams of protein, but you look at the serving size, well, that's a 42-gram scoop. That's 18 grams of non-protein. You know, what is that? You know, it could be carbs, could be filler, could be sawdust, for all you know. So I tell people, first look at that. Then you look at your protein source. If it says something like calcium concentrate, whey concentrate, where you're like, okay, this is a lesser protein. It should be cheaper, I would hope.
Right.
And then if you see something that says like hydrolyzed isolate or whey isolate, then you know, okay, this is a better protein. This is a more absorbing protein. This is a higher quality protein. It's probably going to be more expensive on the price tag, too. So I look at the protein source. I look at the protein grams per scoop gram, you know, how much of the whole scoop is protein. And then I'll look at the outside things, like does it have, you know, how many of the carbohydrates are fiber, fibrous carbs. Because you'll see if it says 6 grams of carbs and then under it it says 2 grams of fiber, well, then you have 4 net carbs. Because fiber is a carb, but it's a non-absorbing carb. You just poop it out. So you subtract it from your carbohydrates. So, you know, that's one thing also to look at, because you may be concerned with the carbohydrate count, but if it has enough fiber, then the carbohydrate count is not a real problem. But if it has a lot of carbs, well, then that means that they're using carbs as a filler. That means that they're trying to fill up that scoop with non-protein additives. And right. I'm not a fan of that, because if I'm buying protein, I'm buying it for protein.
Right.
So that's right. Just me.
Next question. Let me ask a question so we can make sure we get through all of them. So from Trevor Ray. Trevor, yes, you knew.
The old Trevor.
Is it true that if you don't use it, you will indeed lose it?
Yes, and he lost it a long time ago.
Damn.
No, I'm just joking. Congratulations to Trevor Ray and his beautiful son.
Congratulations. So if you don't use it, you will lose it. And you used it, and now you have to take care of it for 18 years.
Yes. He used it. Now he's losing all his money.
Nah, that's all right. Congratulations to you, even though you're a douche. I love you. I would take some every day. All right. This is a more complicated question by Mr. Chris Hill. I say complicated. He's going to preface it. So the question preface. I'm around many guys who take all sorts of supplements but maintain a horrible daily diet, fast food, sugar-heavy snacks, and treats throughout the day. Question, what advice, instructions, or tools could you use or could you direct to someone to optimize their food intake before they supplement their diet with things they may not even need or may not be beneficial?
So first, I would tell you to figure out your macros. Macros is your macronutrition, which is your protein, carbs, and fats. The MyFitnessPal can help you out with that, or you can go to If It Fits My Macros, IIFYM.com, which has a macro calculator. And that's a quick tool that helps out a lot. That's going to tell you how much of protein, carbs, and fats you should be eating. And if you stick to that, that typically can give you the body type that you want. And it's not overnight. That's one thing that people really need to understand, is when you change your diet, it's a process that you have to change your diet for a continuously long time for you to build that, you know, physique. You didn't gain the weight overnight. You're not going to lose it overnight.
Right.
And that's what I tell people all the time, is first, you need to get in the habit of going to the gym before you start investing money. And two, get your diet somewhat straightened out, because he's right. I mean, you can take all the protein or all the supplements in the world, but if you're eating like shit, you're just going to look like shit. I mean, you kind of get out what you put in, or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
So, like, whatever you put in is what you're going to get out, or something like that. But, yeah, so if you're giving – my dad first told me this. It's essentially like building a house, and, you know, what you eat, and, of course, along with that is the materials. So if you're building a house – with McDonald's hamburgers, well, it's not going to be a sturdy house. You know, it's not good material. So that, I mean, a lot of people kind of sabotage themselves with the diet, and he's right, and they think that they can bro their way out by just taking sups, and it doesn't always work like that.
They're supplements. They're not, you know, they supplement. That's what they are. They're it's in the name. It's a supplement.
It's an additive.
Right. Yes.
I tell people all the time they have to get their diet under control. Now, can you take some more aggressive supplements like the SARMs and prohormones, or go down the, you know, the juicing route, and you can be a little more liberal? Well, yeah, but you're also manipulating hormones, and you're getting to more of the gray area, and, you know, there's a lot more in depth with that.
Right.
So you have to pay one way or the other. You either pay with diligence, time, and effort, or you pay with the potential side effects. You know,
you get the shortcut, but you don't know what's going to come along.
Right.
You may not, nothing happen, you may be up in the hospital because of some whatever weird reason.
Exactly. And, I mean, there's a lot of science still to be had on a lot of these compounds. I'm personally a huge fan of the SARMs. I think they're great, and I think they work. You know, but they are the quick ticket, and they have to be respected and done right. Just like anything, you know, if you abuse it and lean on it too much, I mean, you're the one who's going to fall.
Right. So, I think we got. Do you have any questions besides that? What was that? Okay, because I had a few I was going to ask myself. But me and you are not eligible for the gift card. Let's see.
I don't know. Our moral compass don't exactly point north. We can throw our names in there.
No, we're not. Shrimp, beef, chicken. Which protein is better?
If you're Jewish or allergic to shellfish, you want to stay away from shrimp.
Right.
So, did you say beef or pork?
Beef.
Beef. Okay, so beef and chicken is probably going to have your most protein per gram. Chicken's going to be your cleanest. I would say chicken, just because beef, you know, is a fattier muscle or fattier meat, and it could raise your cholesterol, and some people just don't digest red meat as well. Shrimp, you know, besides, you know, the allergicness to it that some people could have or the religious implications, you're going to have to just eat a lot of shrimp. And so I think chicken is your best bet, and it's probably most versatile because you can cook it several different ways. If I had to pick one for somebody, I would tell them to eat more chicken, but I eat a lot of beef.
What about fishes? Of red meat.
I think fishes is good.
Fishes are good.
Yeah, I think fishes is probably your leanest. That's probably going to be your most protein packed. I think that's probably your best. You just obviously don't watch out. Don't eat too much canned fish. You don't want mercury poisoning. But I'm a big proponent. I think meat in general is good. I think meat gets a bad rap. I think it can be overdone, but I mean, if you cook meat right and you cut the fat away and strain the grease, I think it's perfectly healthy. I think it's good. You can eat way less of it and build much more than if you were to go like vegan or vegetarian. You know, you would have to eat a lot of vegetables to get 200 grams of protein.
I went on an all fruit diet for a week.
And it fruit?
Was all fruit. I don't know why I chose to do
that. There's a lot of sugar. You probably feel like shit at times.
It was the most miserable week of my life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was terrible.
You know, I did a carnivore diet for a month.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible, but man, I got to where I was like, I want something besides meat.
Did you get diarrhea from it?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I heard Joe Rogan talking about
it. I'm already
like the first
struggling with that
weeks.
In that apartment anyways.
Yeah, and the first 2 weeks are awful.
There wasn't enough Imodium on the planet for you to take. You'd have to get the bottle and shove it up there just to stop it. It was that bad. Sorry. It was, if you do it, get prepared for that. It was horrendous.
Did it help with your joint pain, though?
Yes. And one thing, my knee never felt better, ever.
Did it clear up, like, I don't know if you do you have acne ever?
No, not really.
Okay, I've never had that issue, too. I just listen to people talk about, like, oh, it's so good for their skin or this and that. So, but I mean, I'm going to be honest. I've never been the best with dieting. I am good at working out and not skipping it and busting my ass and taking the right supplements to liberalize my diet a little bit, but I don't know if I could stick to the carnivore.
Right. It's, man, the variety is the spice of life. Is that the saying? I don't know if this is a saying or not, but I think
that's
the saying.
Did you just eat like one huge ass steak, or would you have like a piece of steak garnished with chicken or something? Like, did you have
it was either one type of meat and then another type of meat later? So I didn't eat all beef one day and all chicken one day. I had to change it up. I love steak.
Can you eat fish? Is it anything besides meat? Is it just purely meat, or can you eat like nuts and stuff too?
I should have looked up more.
Okay, I just didn't. I know you don't do carbs, but I just didn't know like if you could eat anything besides meat.
It was good, and it was more fulfilling. I've tried all kinds of stuff just to try. Like I tried a vegan diet. That was tougher.
Yeah, vegan seems tough.
Vegan is tougher, but vegetarian can be done. I've done vegetarian for a week. It can be done. Mm-hmm. It's just eating nothing but vegetables is just, it's tough. It's hard. Like,
yeah, it doesn't seem very satisfying.
No,
it's
not.
Nothing's like cutting into it like a dough steak or something.
No,
and being done. There's just something satisfying about that. And eating celery,
some lobster,
not so covered in
butter.
Yeah, it just feels good.
I'm so hungry right now, guys, and I'm trying to be healthy, and y'all are just, like, over here talking about it, and I'm like,
You know, it's a true statement. Never go to the grocery store hungry.
Yeah.
Because you will just buy, you know.
I'm bad about going to a grocery store and just walking around aimlessly feeling like, oh, I don't know if I need that. I don't know if I need that. And I'll buy like three things.
Right.
Like I buy enough for like 2 days and then I'm back in there. I just don't know how to grocery shop, I guess.
It's tough. Like, but you know what? This is God's honest truth. If you learn how to grocery shop for the week and say you can pay $60 for the week as opposed to going out to eat, and the money that you will save, not only the money, the problem is you're adding more work to yourself.
Right.
You're having to make some more stuff. You have to get in the kitchen more. But when it comes to your diet and money, I think it's a better option. Money for sure, because, you know, you don't realize $20 a day is you know, a couple thousand dollars a year, you know.
And I kind of think, now granted, I used to cook all the time, and that's in the rear view now. I feel like I eat out every meal. But I think it's not a bad thing to have to take the time and cook for yourself. Like, I think that's kind of a good discipline practice. You know, to take time out of your day to go in the kitchen and prepare a meal versus just watching TV or just going through a drive-thru. And, I mean, I think it's I say that, and then I'm probably going to get fast food or something when I leave here. But I think cooking is a wise practice.
They so put a
I
missed Caesar's I missed the by question. My house.
Ooh, don't do that. The crazy bread. Ooh, the crazy bread. I could eat the whole bag of it.
Especially like when I get done with a long day because I cut grass for a living. You do 12 hours out in 100 degree. You don't want to go home and cook. You
Hell
just
want to no.
grab something, no. and I do not care. I demolish it like there is no tomorrow.
See, my weakness is when I leave the gym is I get Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's good. The Power Bowl is good.
Really? So I just get like 5 tacos.
Oh, the Doritos Locos?
No, just regular soft tacos. But I dip them in the creamy jalapeno sauce.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Now I get for the viewers out there, you can request the 3 cheese blend on your tacos.
That's great.
And they have to put it on there.
You know, they took a lot of stuff off late.
Yeah, I saw that. They got rid of the Mexican pizza and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, I remember back when I was in high school in 2006. Man, I think it was the Wild West. They had all kinds. They had the Crunchwrap Supreme.
They had
the taquitos. They had all kinds of stuff, man.
I personally think the old Taco Bell design looked way cooler, too.
It did.
With all the squigglies and triangles and blues.
I straight up waited in for a fight one time, left the lanes, and went to Taco Bell and just bought like one of everything. I was so hungry.
So we missed the question.
Okay.
And I'm going to add a caveat to this before I even ask the question. In 2007 or 8, I took a steroid. I took D-ball. And I got jacked
right.
off of that.
Right.
But that was the only time in my life, mostly because I was just too afraid to try to find and buy it because I thought I was going to go to jail forever if I did. But Hank Hamilton asked, are steroids what make Ferris Majib such an a-hole?
Before you say anything, Ferris, would you like to respond to Hank?
Hank, you can go eat a bag of, I'll keep it nice so we can. But I'm not too much of an asshole.
All I'm going to say is, like I said earlier, they just amplify what you already are.
Okay.
It just makes you a better, bigger, stronger version of what you already were.
So I must have been really cool back then when I take them. See? He's making more of what you were.
I wanted to
Anyways.
Burn you alive back then.
He called me a steroid big head monkey or something like that.
Yeah, you said you were in college when you did this?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, we were already like idiots when we were in college anyway, and cocky as all get out. Like, that's young 20s. probably the worst time to be on steroids because your testosterone is as high as it's ever going to be anyway.
Something I want to ask you. You know, we all grew up, y'all probably way more than me, but playing sports in junior high and high school, and you see these kids so concerned with making sure they're the best athlete, and they're willing to go through whatever means. And, you know, obviously steroids are a little harder for them to find, but do you see a kid in, like, let's say, 7th grade come in and he's wanting to buy all these supplements? Do you just – is there a part of you that wants to be like, kid, maybe it's just not in the cards?
I don't know if we have anybody quite as young as 7th grade, but
I'm
we
just
definitely
being facetious.
Right, we definitely have, like, high school kids come in. And, if they ask my opinion, I'll shoot them straight. I'll be like, hey, man, like, like, get on some protein, some creatine. Let's do some all-natural stuff because your testosterone is going to be as high as it ever will be.
It's like your body is already making the best stuff it could ever possibly make.
Right. And if they're just not hearing it, you know, we'll go up from there. But I don't like to ever put anybody on anything hormonal. You know, that's...
Genetics is something I've learned throughout when I've weightlifted at least. Genetics is the most powerful thing you're fighting either against or with. Because I know guys who, you know, they can just not work out for 6 months and they go to a gym for a week and they look jacked. And, you know, not so much anymore because I'm older. But I used to be able to eat whatever I want, do as much work. I was a beanpole. And it was like, I was probably 23, 24 before I could ever really start gaining muscle.
Right. And a lot of people... And that's one thing that is kind of hard to drive through these high school football players or any athlete's head is, like, you're not in your prime yet. You're a high school kid. And that is hard for them to hear because in their head they're like, I'm an athlete. And it's like, well, you are versus other high school kids. And, you're right. I didn't probably gain my most muscle till I was mid to late 20s is when I really came into what I would call my prime. And I was an all-state athlete, and I had college offers, and I had a chance to do a walk-on at ULM my sophomore year or junior. I was never going to do it. They just asked me after a flag football game. I was just the fastest kid on the field. I was not going to become a tackling dummy. So I told him, thank you, but no thank you. You can be a great athlete at a young age. But your mid-20s is really where you're going to come into yourself. And I try to remind them of that. And I try to remind them, you know, every year you're going to get bigger and stronger. You know, just keep pushing. That's the main thing is you can't teach and you can't supplement work ethic and you can't teach or supplement drive. So at the end of the day, you may have one kid who comes in and he may – you know, his mom, you'll be surprised how many parents come in and buy their kids, you know, SARMs or pro-hormones or because they want their kid to go play college ball, which is, that's their call. You know, I'm not the parent. But you'll be surprised how many kids come in and try to do that instead of just like, you know, getting up and go do some extra sprints, you know, get up and hit the gym a little harder. Go get a private coach if you just super duper want to go play at LSU, you know. That's what I think is could be more beneficial. And I think that you should come in and see us because we can get you on the right stuff to help get you there the best and quickest route possible. But there is no shortcut if you're truly going to be, you know, the star athlete. You have to go out there and put in the work.
Do me a slight favor. Pull your chair up a little bit away from that because that's actually a real sword on there. I don't want that falling on you. Make sure it didn't just shake and fall off and hit you. I didn't want to hurt you. Anyways, continue. I'm sorry, my bad.
No, I was just saying that, like we were saying, I think, you know, it is good to get on the right supplementation. It is good to come out and learn more. But if you're an athlete, nothing is going to take over for hard work and dedication.
Right.
If you want to be the best on the field, you'll do the extra stuff.
It's kind of like, does Phil Heath probably have the genetics to make him the champion he is? Like, yes. But there's probably other people that their genetics are probably not too far from his, if not exceeds his, but he's just mentally better than them.
Right. Yeah, he does what he has to do to win. He doesn't eat anything outside of what's on the diet. He does not skip the gym because he's not feeling it today or he's sore or... The one I hear all the time is my body needs a break. And it's like, well, have you passed out yet? You know, have you fallen over or you just don't want to do it? You know?
Yeah.
And that's the difference between someone like Phil Heath and just someone who's kind of buff at your local gym. You know? Phil Heath is in there because he had a goal to be Mr. Olympia, which he was several times over.
Who beat him last year?
I'm not really sure.
Someone beat him, and then it should be coming up.
I don't know.
In September.
I know that they canceled all the expos and stuff like that.
Let me see. Time-wise, make sure we're good.
Brandon Curry? Does that sound right?
Brandon Kareem.
He's the latest Mr. Olympia.
He's Mr. Olympia 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was that other guy that had the big ponytail?
Kai Greene.
Kai Greene.
Yeah, big old black guy.
Yes, he was a kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, he would go to practice his posing. He would put on one of those white
masks.
And he would sit. He would go into Subways in his little fucking posing trunks and practice in front of strangers, I guess, so that he wouldn't feel weird on stage. I don't know what the theory was, but I'm sure there was a theory there.
I kind of wonder if he lost or didn't at least win one because if he was so weird.
I don't know, man. Him and Phil Heath, I know, didn't, and I don't stay super on top of the bodybuilding stuff, to be honest. But I know that they had personal beef, and he just never was able to eclipse Phil Heath. Even though I think Kai Greene looked way better than what he got. I think he was a top-notch athlete. I think him being weird kind of hurt him at times.
Yeah.
But made him stand out. He's unique.
I think it made him do well outside of bodybuilding. Yeah. Like he was.
I mean, who else does that? Who else poses in Subways like that?
And he always liked going to like Japan and doing it for some reason.
Yeah, I see that.
It was like an obsession with gigantic bodybuilders in Japan. They just love to see it. I don't know what it is.
This made me think of Rampage.
Maybe everybody's
and Bob
so small over there. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Rampage and Bob Sapp used to love going fighting in Japan just because they were like, man, Asian women love us. I was like,
all right, I take your word.
I can imagine.
All right, let's see. Good.
Well, any other questions for you on?
Go ahead and ask.
Okay, so we know you're a big ULM fan.
Right.
Kind of made you a little upset the other day, but I still stand by it a little bit.
Right.
Do we win a game this year?
I don't know.
I love you, ULM, but you look terrible. Not saying I could do better by any means. We know I can, but man, it's been rough the last 3 weeks watching y'all.
Right. And I know that they haven't practiced much, which nobody, I don't feel like, in the country has really practiced much. I watch a lot of college football, and almost every team kind of looks like shit right now. Most teams just kind of look like they look like college athletes, but they look like they're just getting together and like, all right, you run this, and I'm going to run that. Like, everything looks disorganized a little bit. But ULM looks like extra bad. And that's the frustrating thing, is because sometimes we'll have, you know, spurts of good play, and the commentators will talk about this athlete and that athlete. And I know that we have at least three possible NFL candidates with Josh Peterson, Slaughter, and then Johnson, the running back.
I want to say Slaughter got injured.
Did he? I don't know.
I might be wrong, so nobody quote me on this. I thought I saw something where he was injured. Peterson didn't get targeted all game last game, did he? If he did, it was very minimal. Like, they looked terrible this past week.
Yeah, and I think we have trouble with the line. It's just frustrating because when you looked at our athletes, I thought we were going to have a better year. Now, granted, the COVID thing kind of obviously took a weird spin on it. But pre-COVID, I was like, okay, well, we are going to lose our stellar quarterback, who pretty much made the team at times last year. But I was not expecting us, you know, games like the UTEP where we're heavily favored and then they come out and just get creamed and we scored one touchdown. That's the thing.
21-0 in the first.
Yeah,
quarter, wasn't it?
Something like that. It was just like it wasn't good, and we were expected to win by the spread was 9.5 points, you know, minus us. So we're expected to win by at least 10, and then on the like favoritism, we were an 80% chance win, and then they come out and just beat the shit out of us. And so I don't know if it's coaching, if it's the athletes not giving a shit, or if we're recruiting the wrong athletes, because Colby Suits, when he's wide, when he has nobody around him, he looks like he can throw it a mile, but we're not connecting any passes. Like, he'll throw a frozen rope, but then when it's, you know, when he has pressure, or it just seems like we can't march it down the field. We're punting a lot, and when fucking our kicker averages like 20-something yards a punt. So, I mean, that's like one of us getting out there and punting.
I feel like I got to do better. Not really. I tell you, once you see people who are good at punting, you realize that you cannot do better.
Oh, no doubt. It's so good. No doubt. But it's just, I guess it's just frustrating because that's what it said. At least I was watching the Gamecast because I had to work at the store. So I was keeping up with it on my phone. And last game, our punter was averaging like 26 yards a punt when you would prefer him averaging like 39.
Right. You'd prefer him not to have to be on the
field
that
much. You don't want him punting every few plays. But and I was listening to Viator talk, and like he said, we only ran 40 plays the whole game last time. Like, so we're obviously not keeping the ball. We're turning it over. I think they either need to just like step it up in practice, or like you said, we're just going to get creamed this season, and that's going to be difficult for recruiting.
You think this is Viator's last year? He's been there 5 years.
He's been there 5 years?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think this is his fourth year.
Fourth year. I didn't think he was there that long.
I could have swore somebody somewhere said it was his fifth. They might have been wrong. So let me
see. That's Viator is a hard question, because every year he's been here, we've done like I think we did like. I want to say his first year we won 4 games, then we won 5, then we won like, didn't we go 6-6 the last 2 years, or 7-5 one year?
We never crossed the 500.
I know we've missed bowls twice. We didn't get selected for bowls twice under his tenure.
We went 6-6 twice, but I think last year we finished worse than that.
5-7, I think last year. But we missed. We could have went 7-5 if it wasn't, or maybe even 8-4 if it wasn't for some field goal misses, like Florida State.
Yeah.
Like, what? Did we lose because we missed the point after? Not even a field goal. It was a point after.
I was watching it or listening to it at my house, and I was on my way over here, and I just walked to the door, and I was like, bruh, you go for two in that situation.
Dude, I fucking was watching it on my phone in my truck, because I've also, up until this past year, I bartended on the side for 10 years as well. And walking into the club that I was working at the time, between leaving the truck and getting to the front door, our kicker missed the point after. Like, because I was like, oh, we'll go to overtime. We'll just go to overtime. How do you miss the point after? It's on the three-yard line.
It's ULM. I'm telling you, we're cursed. We're cursed. We have a curse. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's God that hates us or some other deity that hates us. Somebody hates us, and we have no control over it. The AI that controls the simulation is like a joke to him.
I think ULM needs to do what Tech did years back when Tech was historically bad. Pay the money for a decent coach and have about 3 or 4 years of scrub seasons. Maybe pay one decent team and the rest are obvious conference and then bullshit teams.
Right.
Like, Tech would play like a mid-level big team like Kansas State, and then they'd go whoop up on like, I don't know.
Middle of nowhere university.
Yeah, they'd go play like New Mexico and then Southern.
Well, that's what we were
actually.
And
then their conference. And then of course they're going to win 7 games because half of Conference USA is a joke.
That's actually what we were supposed to do this year, because before the whole COVID thing, we were only playing one money game. And our opening game was against some university called Liberty. I don't know.
We're still playing Liberty.
Wait, Liberty like the religious one? The religious one like Jerry Falwell one?
I don't know.
They're still on the schedule, though, but they're undefeated right now.
Oh, well, then that's it.
Yeah. Last time I looked, they were 2-0. I don't know.
The very least they have got on their side.
This is my theory of what we need to do. Okay, Doug Peterson and the Eagles.
Why would he ever leave the Eagles?
He ain't doing too good, and he's in Philly, okay?
He won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
It's still Philly.
Let him dream.
Yes, please. Okay. We throw every penny we can at Doug Peterson when Philly fires him. Granted, it's not a lot of pennies.
I think we'll have to sell Hannah Hall to do that. They may not even
It is a shithole anyway, though. I mean, we'll probably sell the whole campus, but get Doug Peterson here. Recruit locally. That's the one thing we don't do. I mean, we get one or two players locally, but I'm like, man, half of LSU at one point was from here. Half of Bama was from here. And it's like, maybe we couldn't get those players.
Yeah, but are they going to come here versus Bama?
That's what I'm saying. We can't get those players, but there's like 3-star players that are like, oh, I'm going to go to this rando university in Iowa. Like, why couldn't ULM get them?
Right.
Or they go to Tech, and it's like, okay, did ULM try?
Right.
Yeah,
well, I feel like this year they beefed up, or last year, I should say, they beefed up some of the local, because we got, Strotter's local, but he's not from last year, but we got that quarterback from West Monroe and the quarterback from Sterlington. Now, granted, they're, like, not going to be any help this year.
Right.
But maybe 2 years from now when they're juniors, they can, or maybe even sophomores, I'm not sure how well they're playing now in practice.
Is it just money? Is it really just comes down
to
money?
I think money's a big thing.
Money, yeah. And the allocation of that money.
Yeah, I think money's a big thing. I think ULM suffers, one, because we just don't
make enough money like the rest of the universities. But, I mean, that's the big selling point is you walk into locker rooms or stadiums and you see all this cool stuff, and it just, I mean, it makes you want to be an athlete there. I mean, it's, I think money is huge. I think that's probably the main thing. If we went back in time and we had Huey P. Long, which was a governor of Louisiana back in the day, you know, supporting Northwestern University and dumping money into that, you know, everybody be saying fork 'em. It's all about where the money goes,
right,
and who starts winning. That's how support is made. That's what I think a lot of people have lost touch with, is people grow up and they're like, oh, you know, I'm a diehard LSU fan. And it's like, well, you wouldn't have been an LSU fan if they weren't winning, though. You know,
right.
That's just the truth. Because a lot of people weren't Saints fans until Drew Brees came around.
It's true. I was telling someone the other day that when I was a kid, I remember my older brother, because we were Saints fans ever since we were kids, like the Ditka days and all, even yeah, like back in the day. And my brother in the early 2000s was trying to get a Saints birthday cake, okay? And they didn't have any Saints stuff. So they put a baseball player's on there of a guy like diving into home plate, and it said "Go Saints." That's how much people didn't care about it here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day when they were called like the Aints, and people would wear bags over their head. Like I remember when I was a kid, and like nobody gave a shit about Saints.
Everybody
football.
Was Cowboys fans here for the longest time.
I remember that when I was in high school, someone.
No, the way I moved, it made it look like somebody was coming.
Oh, okay. Sorry. When I was in high school, even then, I was kind of the odd guy out because I was like a Saints fan because I was like, hey, this Drew Brees guy. They're like, why don't you care about this? Well, I've always did. It's like, it was always like going to watch games with my brothers because they're the only ones that really cared as much as we did.
Yeah.
And like, but yeah, it's just, and you know what? I'm afraid that, you know, with Drew Brees eating bags of shit right now, that. Well, it's going to go back to that. Like, we're going to lose a lot of – we see how strong the Houdat Nation really is.
I remember when LSU – I don't remember exactly what year it was. It was pre-Nick Saban. They went 6-6 one year, and that was a big deal for them. You know, they finally had made it to a bowl because they hadn't been in forever. And I was like – and now, you know, it's like they don't win the national championship. They're ready to fire the coach. Like, man, how much shit have you seen people get mad at, you know, since they lost to Mississippi State? And it's like
– yeah.
You know. Where are these fans? You know, ULM just needs to win a little bit. Because we've proven, you know, whenever we went to the bowl game that year, man, Baylor, when we played Baylor, that place was packed.
Packed.
Yeah. That was probably one of the more wild games I've been to. Because, one, the stadium was over. I think they had 36,000 people at that game. And our stadium only holds, like, 32 something.
32, yeah.
There's a lot of people not.
So, it was, like, butt to nut. And, like, and it was loud. And I've been to, like, Stanford, USC, and I thought ULM-Baylor was more wild than that game.
Ferris, when you were a trainer, what was the coolest thing you got to do?
Go to the other stadiums. I hate to say it.
Right.
I worked there for a long time. When we played in Grambling that first time in, way back in the day, that was cool because it filled up the whole stadium. I mean, that was probably the coolest. I didn't get to enjoy as much because I always had to go in at halftime. I don't know. I was working. That was the thing.
I think the best story he ever told me, though, is when we pulled off that upset against Bama. He, like, started talking shit to one of the dudes.
Yeah, I was, like, making a caca sound to some guy, and he was going to come. He was, like, walking down to come whoop my ass. And I think he really was going to come do it, but he got stopped by the police. The police officer, what are you doing? And he's like, that's wrong. And, like, he was, like, pointing at me, and I was like, and then my boss was like, quit doing that.
Yeah. I think 2012 was, like, the glory year when we beat Arkansas number 8 game one, and then we took Auburn to double overtime, and we could have beat them in regulation if not for kicking. We missed 2 field goals in regulation time, so we didn't even – and we still took them to double overtime. And then we lose to Baylor by less than a touchdown because we fumble. Like, if we had never fumbled, I think we were up by, like, 2, and we lost by that scoop and score. We were down by 5.
Yeah.
And we lost, like – so we would have essentially won by 9. I mean, that's then ULM has to be ranked,
right? Yeah. Oh man,
I don't even think about it. Recruiting would have opened up. You end the season ranked 1 year, all of a sudden you're gonna see 3 stars popping up,
right?
We'll find out soon enough because ULL looks like they're gonna whoop our ass.
Yeah, they look good, and I've watched Tech play, and Tech just looks okay. But the fact that they just look okay means that we're like they're probably gonna whoop our ass. We look like shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't think Tech looked that great, but they didn't look that bad either.
We look bad.
And we just look bad. Yeah.
All right. Well, ULM is not doing a good once again. We're getting close to time, but give us a little bit of information about heavyweights, where you can find all the social media and all that good stuff.
Okay, so we're located at 1126 Oliver Road. That's right next door to Melvin's, across from Ryan Chevrolet. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Heavyweight Supplements, you'll find us, or HW Supps, you'll find us. We have a website, Heavyweight Supplement, not plural like it should be, but we had to go with whatever URLs were available. So, and you can look at that. And that, and on the website, I kind of focus some of our more featured products, and it's kind of a portal to our Instagram and Facebook. But, yeah, check us out on social media. Any questions you have, hit us up on the social media. Those go directly to me. You know, I'm got 10-plus years in the industry, so I can answer any questions. And I'll be as honest as possible. I'll be honest. And I'll tell you exactly what I think. You know, I try not to bullshit anybody. I try to be real with everybody. But, yeah, we're the only local supplement store of our kind, and I want to say in probably all Northeast Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like all the other ones are chains.
Right.
Know, we're home-owned. I am the owner. You know, me and my staff, which is just Angel, executive assistant.
Shout out to Angel.
Yeah, we are essentially like a small family. So we would really love your support. You know, everything that that y'all spend with us goes directly towards feeding my dog and cat.
All right.
And for all the people who always want us to talk about buy local, there's your opportunity to buy local.
Yep. Well, Trevor, I'm glad you came. Maybe sometime we'll get you on where we won't have to be so strict. Well, we're not strict. We're talking about just like instead of just talking about supplements, stuff we can talk about whatever.
Yeah, but please do.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah. I could tell at first, like maybe he's like a little nervous, like a little bit at first, because I always am watching the guests at first, and like some of them are like really clammed up and looking at you, Hank.
Talking to you, Hank.
And then you have people, but you know you did well, and I appreciate you coming on. And Tim, you got anything else to add before we go?
Nope, we're gonna do the contest right after we hang up. I'm gonna write down all the names. We're gonna rip them. We're gonna take them apart. Put them in a hat. We're going to go live on Facebook. And so whoever wins, we'll get to see it right then and there.
All right. You heard it first. And all right, guys, and we are done.